CoOptimus.com presents the CoOptiCast.
And welcome back to another CoOptiCast. This is CoOptiCast episode 11 for January 25th, 2009. And we've got a special CoOptiCast for our 11th episode because we have our first guest. And our guest is totally awesome, and he's totally cool, and he's totally Philip Kohler. How you doing, Phil?
I don't think any of those things you just said are true. Neither the awesome or the cool, nor the Philip Kohler, but I'm here nonetheless.
Yeah, your voice sounds a little deeper than normal. I think you're an imposter.
It's totally possible. It's also possible that I've had an awful cold for days now.
So, for those of you who don't know Phil, we met and started working together back in the Evil Avatar radio days, and he moved on from there to 1UP, and he was the news editor there. And from there, he formed the 1UP FM podcast, and now he's not there.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
So with that out of the way...
we'll leave it at that. I'm sure you're sick to death of talking about that, and there's no need to, but we're glad to have you on either way.
I'm very glad to be here. I'm actually very glad to be doing our podcast where I won't be talking about that.
Good, yeah. We'd like to talk about games on our podcast.
Excellent.
And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. We last podcast, episode 10, we went through the first half of the year. Well, actually, we only got to about, I think, April, Mike, right? I think about April.
I don't even remember. We just had a big list of about 30 games on it. We went as far as we wanted to.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the cooperative games of 2009, and we'll see where that leads. But before we get there, let's find out what we've been playing. And we'll start with our guest, Phil. Phil, what have you been playing?
Oh, my. Mostly just a lot of World of Warcraft. I think I was telling you guys a little about this before I started recording. That's just kind of eaten up my life again since the expansion came out. So, I don't know. That's really been a large part. I'm actually impressed with how much time I'm spending in that game. It's sort of scary. But... other than that, I also just started Condemned 2. Going back to play that, because I played the original Condemned over the summer and really loved it, and I had heard that Condemned 2 was a significant improvement over that. So I'm finally finding the time to go back and play that, but I'm only a very small portion into the game.
Those two are both on my backlog. I've always wanted to play them, and I just never get around to it.
Yeah, I think I game-flied the original Condemned over the summer, and was surprised at... Yeah, I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I've heard that... Like I said, I heard the sequel is even better. So far I'm liking it, but we'll see how it goes.
And you had just finished up Prince of Persia as well, the new one, because I read your review over at eatsleepgame.com.
If
you're gonna plug it, get it right.
Sorry. Well,
it's all right. I just finished Prince of Persia and was a little disappointed. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Prince of Persia franchise, and this one just didn't quite hold up as much as I had hoped. Especially the combat was what I had major problems with. I wasn't so down on the fact that they kind of simplified the platforming controls. But the combat, I felt, got really frustrating and sort of drawn out.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Mike? What have you been playing?
Oh, geez. I started by playing the Dodge the Inauguration Crowd game. And then I played the I Need to Get an Emergency Root Canal Done game.
That's a good and one. I heard that one was very strong.
I also had the food poisoning game before either of those, so this week has been fantastic, but in the past couple days, I downloaded the Castle Crashers DLC because I'm a complete whore for that game, and I really like the king. He's pretty funny. I made a decision to play through all of the Phoenix Wright games again, because it's probably my favorite thing on the DS, so I started, and I'm almost through the first game, so I guess we'll see how strong my will is to get through four games real quick.
Man, I've been playing the Phoenix Wright games. I've been trying to play through that series for like a year now, and I'm still only on the second game. I can't imagine trying to like play through the whole series a second time.
Well, it's a lot easier the second time because you kind of know the game's logic, and even if you've forgotten the solution to the way through the game, it goes a lot quicker, and plus you can skip all the text. You don't have to wait for it to spell out for you. So, you know, it takes probably a 15-hour game and cuts it down by a couple hours there.
That makes sense.
But alongside that, I've finally wrapped up Chrono Trigger DS. You know, it's not like I haven't beaten that game 30 times already, but I needed to finally sit down and get the last encounter out of the way. Been playing a lot of Audio Surf, which is, you know, it's one of those games I can always come back to, even if I don't play it for like 9 months. I'll sit down and say, you know what, this game is just awesome. I love it. And it's really entertaining to just try and find the weirdest little songs to play through. I was telling Nick I popped in my Flight of the Conchords disc and started playing through some of those in Audio Surf, and it's just weird.
You can also play this podcast in Audio Surf, for example.
I have in fact done a Co-Opticast in it. It was kind of boring.
I bet it was amazing.
I popped in, played a little bit more Left 4 Dead, and we downloaded the Dawn of War 2 multiplayer beta. Probably will switch on and play as soon as we're done recording here.
I am jonesing for that game bad. It's weird. Yeah. I haven't wanted a real-time strategy game in a long time, but between that and StarCraft II, I'm so excited for real-time strategy games in 2009.
Yeah, I love what they're doing with it, you know, making it you decide on what to do with your smaller squad and trying to make the world a little bit more interesting to interact with.
Yeah,
and co-op is always great.
Yeah, and we have an interview, which will probably be up by the time you read this, with the developers.
Do you read podcasts, Nick?
I do.
Huh?
Do you read podcasts?
No. Is that what I said?
Yes.
It may or may not have been what you said.
Okay. Let's try this again. So we're going to have an interview up with the developers on the site in text that you can read, and we talk about the co-op, and I'll tell you what, it's one of the best Q&A's we've done so far, and the co-op sounds really, really awesome. So, drop in and drop out. Yes.
Yes.
I haven't heard much about the co-op in this game. Can I ask about it?
Sure.
Am I allowed?
So, the co-op in it is two-player co-op, and each person will control... I don't know the exact details because I only read through it once, but I think there's like six squads in total you can control. And when you switch to co-op, your partner controls three of them, and he can drop in and out at any time during that thing. And then, like, say your partner's squads get wiped out, his hero character, you can actually go and revive his hero. Yeah, to keep going. So it sounds really promising.
Yeah, that does sound really cool. I mean, are you playing through like story missions, sort of the same way that the co-op worked in Red Alert 3?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's complete story. It's a non-linear campaign though,
yep.
So you can, you know, whatever mission you pick, they can drop it in right then and there.
Sound really excellent.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. I purchased Dawn of War 1 a couple weeks ago. Was playing through that, and now
I just bought that as well.
Weeks away here. Good stuff.
Glad you bought that. That game is fantastic. The final expansion wasn't as great as the first two, but that game it's definitely awesome. And if you liked Company of Heroes, or if you liked Dawn of War, either of those games are very complementary to each other because they both work basically off the same system.
Yeah. So yeah, other than that, like I said, I've been playing some Dawn of War, and I played a little bit of Castle Crashers last night with some of the site staff, actually, which was pretty fun. We all started with fresh characters and worked our way through that. And other than that, I haven't been playing much. I started up, we were on the Married Gamers podcast, Mike and I, was it Friday? Thursday?
Thursday.
Last Thursday. And... he had talked about, Chris, the host, had talked about February being a month that you pick up a game and finish that you haven't finished yet. And I had mentioned GTA 4, and I decided to do that. So I've been playing some GTA 4 again, which is nice. Pretty good. I forgot. The game's fun.
How much do you have to go in it, do you know?
You know, I honestly don't know. I think I just unlocked the last island.
Oh, okay.
So
you got a little ways, then.
Yeah.
I put like 50 hours into that game, and I was pretty sure I was close to the end, but I'm not really sure.
I want to go back and finish that game, but the problem is I'm actually on the final mission, and I know I'm on the final mission, but back when I was playing the game when it originally came out, I had so much trouble beating this mission that I'm just dreading putting it back in and trying to play through it.
Trying to play it cold.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's tough. All right, so let's, without further ado, let's hit our long list of the 2009 co-op games, part deux. That's two, if you didn't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Is this a French lesson?
No, it's really not.
The podcast should be done in French. You should offer it in multiple languages.
The first game that I can see that we kind of missed, and actually I think the release date was just announced, is Guitar Hero Metallica. And I know they just released a track list for this. It's 360 PS3. I think there might be a PS2 version as well. It's Activision, so there's probably going to be a Wii version, a mobile phone version, a DS version, an Atari version, you know.
They'll probably make a World of Warcraft mod to play it while you're waiting for your raid to start. And yeah.
Man, that would be excellent. Then I would actually maybe buy this.
I really have zero interest in this. I've been kind of burned out on Guitar Hero in general, just because Guitar Hero has always been a much more difficult game. I actually didn't even pick up World Tour.
Yeah, World Tour is the first one that I haven't bought. I mean, aside from, like, Aerosmith, I guess.
Yeah. Aerosmith doesn't even count. That's
yeah,
just like a...
exactly.
Whatever you want to call that. But yeah, from what I can tell, what I've seen feedback-wise, the set list for this is, like, incredibly difficult. I mean, not even just for guitar, but the drums and everything else. I have no desire to bring myself into pain.
The majority of Metallica's early catalog is 1980s thrash metal. So, if you want to just play finger blistering solos the whole time, that's a pretty good start. And I'm a big Metallica fan, and I have no interest in this game because I value my wrist. And as a gamer, I think, you know, that should be the most important thing on your body next to your fingers. Cause, you know, your wrist goes, you can't hold that controller anymore.
And the drums for this, actually the pre-order bonus at GameStop is an extra pedal for the drums that has a splitter. So you can do the double bass pedal. And
I thought it was like an extra pedal because like they knew you were going to break the one you have or something.
No, it's because the drums are so difficult. You need the double bass to successfully complete it, I guess.
That's sad. It should just work as a hi-hat.
Yeah. So yeah, not too keen on that. And really, on our site, I haven't seen too much feedback about Guitar Hero. People seem to not have picked up World Tour.
Well,
I think in the MPDs, you just look at the MPD numbers, and that reflects that. I mean, it's just, I think Guitar Hero is reaching the saturation point where, you know, Activision's plan is to just keep pumping them out there. They're pumping them out. Like, how many are they planning to release this year?
Like 14 seasons.
Yeah,
or something,
yeah, something crazy
like that.
And I just don't think that people are as interested in Guitar Hero anymore. I think that they've reached a point where they're like, I don't need a new music game every single year, which is why hopefully MTV and Harmonix will do the right thing with, and EA will do the right thing with Rock Band and just let it be a platform now and not have to release a new one every year.
Well, they did say they're skipping this year.
That's what they said. Yeah. So hopefully they stick to that.
Until the Beatles game comes out this November. And they won't call it Rock Band, but it'll basically be Rock Band with the Beatles.
To be fair, I bet that's not their fault. I bet...
No.
I bet that's whatever... Who is it? Apple Corps or whatever that group is?
Apple Music.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, but they got some cute name for it. Anyway, so another title coming out soon that's completely different is, but a franchise that, or a series of games that have just as many as Guitar Hero is a Tom Clancy game. But this time we're going to the skies in Hawks, and the X stands for extreme.
Wait, does it seriously?
I think so.
God damn it.
High altitude warfare extreme. I'm sure that's not what it stands for, but
Ubisoft buys Tom Clancy's name, and this is what they do. They put it in extreme.
I'm gonna look it up, and I bet you it is something like that. High altitude warfare extreme. let's see. Oh.
So about this one, while you're looking it up, I'm not big on the flight sim games, but I gotta say, I was in the IGN offices a couple of weeks ago, and you know my girlfriend works there on Green Pixels, and but I was hanging out there meeting some people, and one of the guys from GameSpy was playing this game, and he was playing it with a flight stick setup for the 360.
Was it the Ace Combat 6 one?
I'm not sure, but it looked, and he had, you know, it was on a big TV, so he had the flight stick on his table right in front of this big TV. So it was like he was just, like, in the cockpit, basically. it looked, like, just incredible.
Nice. Okay, so I lied. It doesn't stand for extreme. Oh. It stands for experimental.
What are the other words?
Experimental is almost weirder. I don't even...
It's High Altitude Warfare Experimental Squadron.
Are you serious? I was just guessing.
Yeah, I'm serious.
That's great. So,
wow.
Now, the one thing about the game, I remember seeing this at E3 that was pretty cool, was it had this dynamic like 3D camera thing for when you're flying in the dogfights, so you could kind of get your bearings a little bit easier, and it worked really well, because you know if you're not hardcore into the sim aspect of it and you're just trying to get the bogey off your tail, that's fleet sim speak.
Actually, it would be a bandit. A bogey is an unidentified target.
Well, if he's behind you, you don't know what it is.
Well, if he's behind you and you're evading him, he's a bandit.
You gotta ruin all my fun, don't you, you bastard?
I do. That's my job. That's why you... Well, you don't really pay me, but that's why I show up.
Okay. So, yeah, but it's got this really interesting fixed kind of third-person camera to make it easier to see what's going on around you. And it worked really well, so I'm curious to see what the feedback's going to be on that once it comes out and people get their hands on it. So it's got full four-player drop-in and drop-out co-op through the entire single-player campaign. So pretty awesome. It's not extreme, though.
I was going to say, sad. If it's not extreme, I don't care anymore.
I could have sworn it stood for extreme, but you win some, you lose some. Another game coming out soon should be hitting the Xbox Live Arcade, PlayStation Network, and PC. It's called Flock. And Flock is a game from Capcom. And the way I heard it described is it's kind of like a cross between Lemmings and... and like Lost Vikings, I think, was how they described it.
Where yeah, you like... basically just sold me on the game right there.
So you have the Mother Flocker, which is your
hold on.
No, this is what it's called. I swear to God, I'm not making this up.
You basically just sold me on the game again.
I was gonna say, you know, you went from extreme to Mother Flocker. So,
you round up these the sheep and stuff, and you kind of have to direct them to specific areas. But the game does support full 2-player co-op throughout the whole, you know, the whole game. It's kind of puzzle oriented. Sounds pretty interesting.
I would like to make a point and then make a joke in that order. First, the point is that I think Capcom's been doing some really great stuff with downloadable games, but the interesting thing is like they're really what's getting the most notice, of course, is like the downloadable retro games or retro game revivals they've been doing. But they also have some really great original stuff, and I feel like that's kind of getting lost and ignored. Like and I'm part of the problem because I haven't played it, but I've heard that Age of Booty was really excellent, and now this game sounds really excellent. And I'm afraid it'll get kind of lost in the same way, because I've seen screenshots and seen a little bit of discussion, but you know, it just doesn't have the big hype that some of the like other stuff they've been doing, like Bionic Commando.
Right.
So hopefully people
help
actually
that
check
BCR
out.
Was great.
Yeah, I mean, but all their downloadable stuff has been really, really excellent, both the retro stuff and the new stuff, I think. So it's just, I hope people are checking out the original stuff too, or I hope people go back and check out the original stuff. Like, I mean, I did download Age of Booty, I just haven't played it. but I've heard that's excellent, and this sounds excellent. Also, I think we should officially dub this the X-rated edition of the Coopticast. But the X should stand for extreme.
Oh, nice.
All right.
I'll do that just for you.
Thank you.
So yeah, what about you, Mike? Looking forward to it? Sounds pretty unique.
You said Lost Vikings, which is an instant purchase, even if it's just a spiritually similar game.
Yeah.
I mean, would you buy a Lost Vikings MMO? Because that is, I know people joke about it, but I would genuinely buy that.
Yeah, I spent most of my time running Uldumon in WoW just to see the Lost Vikings in it because they made me shed tears of nostalgia.
That's excellent.
Excellent. So yeah, Capcom's definitely been doing good. In fact, one of the trends that I did a write-up on last year, kind of summarizing 2008, was they released a lot of arcade titles and stuff and added co-op and stuff to them, or games that were co-op specific, like the 1942... remake, Joint Strike, and then you mentioned Bionic Commando. They added co-op to that, so they've been a pretty good big supporter of co-op. So it's good to see that. And then of course you got the big one, which we talked about in the last episode, Resident Evil 5, which isn't downloadable but equally awesome in co-op.
Yeah, it's I'm looking forward to it, regardless of whether it is Resident Evil 4.5 or not. It looks fantastic, and I like shooting zombies.
Yeah, even if it's just Resident Evil 4 with co-op, like, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's a big enough jump in quality for me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to pick up my co-op partner and tell them to stay somewhere so they don't get shot. You know, that's good.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on. Next one on our list is one that Mike actually picked as one of his most anticipated games of 2009, and that's Demigod.
Yes.
That's from Gas Powered Games, and it's kind of like this hybrid between Diablo and an RTS. It's the best way to describe it. You control this demigod creature who has all these special abilities and powers, and your actions influence the battle that's going on around you. Got to play this at PAX, actually, and I was really impressed with it.
And I hate you for it because I wasn't with you when you went to go play it, and I ended up missing out. And ever since it was on the, it was one of the cover stories of GFW magazine, and they did a really good story on it. It made me want to play the game so much, and I missed my opportunity, and now I'm gonna get emo about it.
Well, you don't have to wait too long because it's supposed to be out in April, and they had like a. If you pre-order it, you get into the beta, like, instantly. And that's been going on since, like, November, maybe? Mm-hmm. And it's just a multiplayer beta, but you can play against, like, a bot, too. But I think there's only two of the demigods in it. I think there's supposed to be, like, six or eight. So
the mixing of the two genres works all right? From what you've
played? You know, it's not so much... It's really more Diablo than it is an RTS.
Okay.
The only RTS thing that's going on, because you don't have like direct control over the other units really. So like, if you start attacking a certain area, all these little guys that are around you will kind of go and attack that too, and they'll keep going there. And then if you need to move on and, you know, go work on another area, then you can start going there, and then the rest of your guys will kind of go there, and it's kind of like a semi-intelligent AI in that sense.
Well, the way I understood it was that the certain classes have more control over the units, and some of the classes play more like a straight action RPG in the Diablo style. Then those guys will basically have their minions pretty much on autopilot, and that's where the AI takes over, but the other ones can actually command their guys directly. I may be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure I heard that's what I heard.
Well, it could be. The demigod that I played was a guy that had like fire and ice, mm-hmm. and you could build your skill tree out to either one. And so like you had like a, you know, like a cast down a thing of meteors and a big ring of fire kind of a thing and a firewall and all these other kind of things that you can build out. And he really didn't have any control over the units on the screen, but there was another demigod I didn't get to play, which was, it's kind of the box art demigod. It's called the Rook, and it's like this big towering stone guy mm-hmm. that just kind of walks around and beats the crap out of everything in its path. So perhaps maybe that guy has more control over the units because you don't really have as many special abilities and stuff.
Let's be honest, though. Wouldn't you rather be playing a Kingdom for Cafflings? Really?
You know, I only played the demo of that. Is that any good?
I actually kind of like it. I was making a crack at it there, but it is actually pretty fun. It's no demigod,
I'm
sure.
It's a chill game, though, right?
Yeah, it's very much like... there's no conflict in the game at all. It's very much not like a game you play to be challenged.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's the game you play to test out your avatar. That's what I heard.
Or that to chill down. You know, to chill down after a long day. After a long, hard day of being BA Penguin, sometimes you need to just relax.
Yeah, crack open a woodchuck.
You bastard. You want to know what's funny? I have one sitting in front of me right now.
I'm sure you do.
Anyway, moving on to another pseudo RPG, one that I wish they would make a new single player version of, and that's Phantasy Star. And there's actually two coming out, one for the PSP, one for the DS, and I think both of them are out in Japan already. Phantasy Star Portable is the PSP version, and Phantasy Star Zero is the DS version. Both are four player co-op, and the way it works is similar to Phantasy Star Universe, and what was the other one? Phantasy Star Online. If you ever played those, you kind of get a party together of four people, and you go out hacking and slashing.
My Dreamcast is gently weeping somewhere right now. I really liked Phantasy Star Online, and I really absolutely hated Phantasy Star Universe, so until someone can prove to me that these games play more like the former, I'm kind of uninterested in them. And I do agree that I would like a real Phantasy Star 5, perhaps.
Yeah. You think, too, with how successful the universe and online games have been, that they would consider it, at least.
Yeah, but we've also seen that Japan doesn't know what the hell to do with the next-gen system, except for the Sega team that made Valkyria Chronicles.
Damn you, Japan, you ruin everything.
It's true, the current gen Japanese RPGs, all the good ones are coming out on the PS2, and they're all made by Atlus. And all of Square Enix's efforts on the 360 have been pretty much wrought with failure.
Yeah.
I have an infamous story about Infinite Undiscovery where I played it for several hours and then quietly turned the power off and took the game to GameStop and didn't say a word. This, I was so angry at the game, I became Zen. And, it's...
I mean, the only like, worthwhile next-gen RPGs really have been the Mistwalker ones, and even those were just very, very nice next-gen paint on, like, very old-school game design.
And that's why, Valkyria Chronicles was on my top five list of all games last year, because it was a Japanese RPG that, felt fresh. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've played it.
Yeah, I've played a little. I wonder, with the Phantasy Star thing, because, I mean, I haven't heard anyone bring up the fact that, they could do a single-player one again, and actually I would really like that as well. I wonder why they don't. I wonder if it costs less to produce, like, the online versions. That seems weird, but...
I don't know. Yeah. They put a single-player component into Phantasy Star Universe, and it was just so bad.
I played a very small portion of that.
But the thing, like, the Phantasy Star games, like, Phantasy Star 2 is, like, one of my all-time favorite RPGs, and it just has a really deep story to it, and maybe just, the writing of that and everything that goes along with that in a next-gen RPG, cutscenes or anything else... It's just, it's too much, it costs too much. That's the only thing I could figure. But yeah, hey, we just posted something about the, what's it called, Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection or something like that, and it will have Phantasy Star 1, 2, and 3 in it.
Nice. Why not 4?
Maybe it does have 4 as well.
If it has the other ones. Because Phantasy Star 1 is a Master System
Master
game.
System, yeah. Yeah, maybe it is 4 as well. For some reason, I only remember 3 on the list. Anyway, so another RPG on the PlayStation 3 that's coming out with co-op, which was a surprise when it was announced to everybody, was White Knight Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's supposed to, the co-op mode in that actually is supposed to be a lot like Phantasy Star Universe and Phantasy Star
Online. Or Monster Hunter.
I just want to throw in here, I'm looking at the Sega Genesis collection, and it does have all four Phantasy Stars. Oh, wait. Actually, no, it just has Phantasy Star 2 through 4. It doesn't have 1.
Doesn't have 1. Okay,
well, that makes a little more sense.
Okay, there we go. But, anyways, White Knight
Chronicles, I have one thing to say, and this is basically a make or break for me. If its online component does not have voice chat, I will not play it.
Because yeah, it's got to have
Japanese
voice chat,
games
right?
Don't come with voice chat, and it's a PS3 title, so there's no system integration for this.
Okay, hold on. Let's go back one more step. The Phantasy Star 1 is a secret unlockable.
Oh,
in
snap.
It.
Okay, so it does have all four. I knew, it's just so that you need to play through 2 through 4 to unlock the first one.
I don't know how you unlock it, but anyway. All right. Sorry.
So I'm actually really excited about White Knight Chronicles, but I was actually disappointed to see that it got pretty... I mean, for Famitsu and for a Japanese RPG in Famitsu, it got pretty middling scores from Famitsu.
Yeah,
I think
like
it was
a 28, right?
Yeah, something like that. And, you know, usually you're looking at, you know, for a good Japanese RPG from Famitsu, you're looking at, you know, high 30s somewhere.
Yeah. You know, I really like a lot of the stuff that Level 5 does, and I'll probably play the single player component, but, you know, if you're going to try and sell me on multiplayer and make it so I have to use, like, a little contextual text menu to communicate with my buddies, I get kind of irritated.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really been following it too closely.
It just came out in Japan, didn't it? In December?
Yeah, December.
We'll see. I'm a big fan of any kind of RPG, as long as it has a nice, good co-op experience with it. So, moving on, which will probably be one of the, I would say, biggest co-op games of, hopefully, the summer. It's going to be Aliens Colonial Marines from Gearbox, and I had already equated it to this year's Left 4 Dead in the style of game it's going to be. And it's a four-player co-op game, drop-in, drop-out. I think there's six mission scenarios throughout the whole thing. But it's got a couple cool little things, like you can set up trip mines and stuff like that, and it's got a flamethrower. So that'll be cool.
You know, that game is going to be ripe for role-playing, like people have adopted in Left 4 Dead. You know, you role-play as your character. You know,
right.
Sure, everybody has their own variant of calling out where the pills are. And you just know that Colonial Marines, if it plays out much the same way, people are going to just be spewing movie lines left and right.
Yeah, we're going to get really tired of the game over, man, game over line, aren't we?
You know, the thing that they should do is when everybody gets wiped out, they should just sample that and play it.
That would be excellent.
It would be excellent. But you were saying that they have the like the motion sensor.
Yeah, it's got the "they're inside the room" kind of ping thing going on.
That's pretty cool. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with this, because the old Alien vs. Predator games on PC were pretty awesome.
Yeah, the I think there's four different character classes to choose from as well. So it's not like in Left 4 Dead where like one person can use whatever they kind of find. Like, I don't know, if maybe there'll be like a scout class which uses the little motion sensor thing, or, you know, a heavy gunner class which can use a nice little Gatling gun or something like that. I don't know for sure.
They'll just crib some Team Fortress 2 characters and let you build sentry guns with an engineer.
Right. So instead of zombies, you're going to have all these aliens running around, busting through walls to the ceiling and everything else. And I think it's going to bring some good tense moments and definitely lends itself well to a co-op experience.
Excellent. What's next?
Moving on. Let's see. Oh, here, one that kind of came out of nowhere last year when it was announced and is totally random and totally awesome at the same time is Madballs Babo Invasion.
Yeah, what the hell is this? I saw this on your list. I don't know what this is. What are you talking about?
Did you ever have Madballs when you were a kid? They were like those squishy Nerf kind of balls that were
familiar with.
They were like eyeballs and weird stuff, right?
Like, so somebody decided to cash in on the 80s franchise, and they made basically like a top-down dual analog stick shooter.
What?
But you play as the balls.
What?
That's nonsense.
It sounds really stupid, but watch the video for it.
So
it
what
looks
you're
really
saying
cool.
is that these people control a pair of balls.
When you co-op, yes. If you two-player co-op, you play as a pair of balls.
So I'm not even going there.
X-rated edition.
That's right. But yeah, no, it looks pretty cool. I believe it's only two-player co-op, but I like the top-down shooters like Geometry Wars and Smash TV and all those kind of things, and this looks to take advantage of that. I believe I read something about it like kind of being a little bit physics-based, you know, since you're a ball and you can roll, I guess it's going to play into the gameplay somehow, so it could have some interesting gameplay elements.
Can we please move on?
And the crowd went silent. Nobody wants to talk about the balls.
I just don't know what I'm supposed to say about this.
Neither do I.
Balls.
Balls. How about Ghostbusters? There's another 80s franchise that's getting revival.
I can't wait for this.
Wait for what?
Ghostbusters.
Oh, you can't wait for it.
I can't.
The thing I'm most excited about with this is just that... that they've got so much support from like the people who worked on the movie, and that, you know, that they're essentially saying this is the future of the Ghostbusters franchise. This is the next Ghostbusters movie. This is like officially where we want to take the franchise.
Yeah.
It's not just a video game cash in. Like, it seems like they're treating it more seriously than that.
Yeah.
And
so this is,
go ahead.
I was going to say it's a 4-player co-op title. Believe it's online and local as well, but the only problem is, at least last we heard, the co-op mode isn't through the single player story. It's kind of like their own specific little missions, like challenges and stuff like that, which is kind of disappointing.
Yeah. And what I was going to say is that I can't, whenever this game gets brought up, I can't help but think about those guys that made the tech demo of their Ghostbusters
Zoot Fly.
Game.
Yeah.
Only to have the, you know, everything go to hell and then this game get announced in its wake. So.
Well, there was an interesting story at Ars Technica about it, and they kind of went through the history of the game, and they talked to the Zoot Fly guys about it, and they're actually still kind of making the game, and they just kind of replaced everything with something that was similar but not quite Ghostbusters. It's basically what they did. So
Phantom Blasters or something else.
Yeah, something like that.
Awesome.
So maybe that game will actually have a good 4-player co-op element through the story. I don't know. But yeah, they're still making stuff. Moving on. What else we got on the list here? Borderlands. We had briefly talked about it on the last podcast. I think I cut it out, though.
5 million guns.
So many. Infinite guns.
I just want to play that game and open one of those treasure chests and have guns start flying out at me. That was probably the best demo I've ever seen. You know, him getting so excited about all these guns flying in his face. But it looks good. And I am excited to see what Malachi does. Because he kind of left us hanging on that in the demo. But you know, it's got vehicles, and it's kind of a, you know, Mad Max craziness, and I'm really excited about it.
I'm a little worried about this. I mean, I'm a big fan of it's Gearbox working on this, right?
Right.
Yeah, Gearbox.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Gearbox, and I think they've done some excellent stuff in the past. But I've just heard such mixed things about this, and you know, the concept of the, you know, endless variety of guns. I'm not sure how much that's going to appeal to people when they realize that it's not really endless guns. It's just kind of like slight variations on different guns.
The blue machine gun, the green machine gun,
exactly.
The pink machine gun.
Yeah, well, if there's anything that World of Warcraft has taught me, that people will get excited about the smallest little change to their weapon. So.
But that's true in an MMO and in an RPG setting, I think. But I'm just curious if that's going to work the same in like a sort of more of an action shootery type setting. I'm not sure if it'll, if it'll cross over the same, that sort of loot fascination. If they can make it work, that would be excellent. But I mean, looking at something like, I think it's difficult too. If you look at other people that have tried with, like, you know, for example, Hellgate London.
Right. That game had other problems though.
That's true. That's very true.
So that's so Borderlands is a 4-player co-op title. No solid release date on that. I think the last one I saw was like the middle of June or something like that. So we'll see what comes of that. That's two big Gearbox, though, games with co-op, with Aliens Colonial Marines, which is Gearbox as well, and Borderlands. So, moving on, the other, probably the last confirmed game we have for the year would be Halo 3 ODST. And the ODST, there's no extreme there. It's Orbital Drop Shock Trooper. And it's supposed to be a little more gritty Halo game with 4-player co-op. You play as the previously mentioned Drop Shock Trooper. And it's supposed to be a little more tactical as well, with a non-linear kind of thing going on.
I'm wondering how the more tactical element will translate to the co-op, because, yeah, I'm just curious how those two will mesh, because Halo's so well known for the co-op, so, you know, it's got to work, but...
What was the Star Wars game that was the...
Republic Commando.
Yeah, for some reason, that's the kind of vibe I just think of when I...
That game was actually pretty well-loved, right?
It was pretty decent. Solid, and I think it got overlooked because it was a prequel trilogy tie-in game, many of those ended up being very good. But this one, you know, there's a lot of people who like Halo, and there's a lot of people who like the Rainbow Six games, so I think that... You know, the tactical stuff would probably work pretty well. You know, I think there's probably a lot of crossover in those.
Yeah, I mean, they've been saying basically, you know, in Halo 3 and all the other games, the Master Chief is just, he's so badass that he doesn't need much tactics when taking down the enemies. It's basically just shoot all your guns as fast as you can at straight ahead and you kill it. And this, you know, taking down things like the Brutes and stuff are going to require some actual strategy, because... they're a lot more powerful than your character in the game. So
that's going to be interesting too, though, if people are going into this like expecting another just normal Halo game, and then they find out, oh, my character is significantly weaker. I'm dying faster. I can't take down enemies as quickly. Like that could turn some people off as well.
I wonder.
Oh yeah, it could definitely backfire.
I wonder if they'll get rid of the regenerating shield, because the conceit of that game was that it's part of Master Chief's armor.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard if that's going to stick or not.
I just can't wait, honestly. I can't wait to see what Bungie does that's not Halo.
Yeah.
I want them to get the Myth license back.
Yes, Myth, please.
I just want them to do something. I mean, I feel like they've... I feel like they're pretty much done with Halo as far as they're concerned. And I think they've got other ideas that they're excited to get out there.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Marathon. Yeah, I mean, let's get another Marathon. It's been a while.
It's still Marathon's so closely related to Halo.
But yeah. You know, I'd kind of like to see all the... They've learned a lot of tricks about FPSs with Halo. I'd kind of like to see them revisit that, and in, you know, maybe some small form. I mean, Halo does have the terminals and stuff that kind of nod at it.
Yeah,
but on this list, I'm looking at, you actually missed one. And
did I?
It's a game that is basically two fantasy RPG classes meshed together for a title, Rogue Warrior.
I did skip over that.
And I really I remember reading what this game was, and it basically seemed really generic. And now that I look at that title, it's even worse.
I haven't heard anything about this game at all, so
I can
all I know
the
is that I don't see how you can mix together a tanking class and a DPS class like that.
Hey,
that
you know, Fury Warriors work pretty damn well.
That does not seem fair.
The background on it. It says, in Rogue Warrior, you play Dick Marinko, leader of an elite SEAL unit trapped behind enemy lines in North Korea.
For that.
Hey, I'm just laying it out like it is.
So what does Dick do?
He's a leader of a SEAL team.
Jeez.
And, you know,
strong
he's in
language,
North Korea.
Guys.
And when the war breaks out in North Korea and South Korea, you gotta do what you gotta do, you know?
I'm sure you do.
So, yeah, there's a reason I skipped over it, Mike.
Well, I wanted to make my Rogue Warrior joke.
Who is okay. who's making this?
Bethesda.
Bethesda's publishing?
Yeah, I believe so.
I was gonna say they're not developing this. I don't think so.
Let me see. God, I hope not. Right.
Well, I mean, I think I just feel like if they were, I would have heard about it.
So it what is this? Oblivion in North Korea? Then
it's SEAL Team Oblivion.
See, but I would play that.
So would I, but still.
Zombie Studios is developing. I guess they worked on America's Army, Pitfall the Mayan Adventure.
Oh, it's a cross between those two. Okay.
Pitfall the Mayan, the Super Nintendo game?
I guess.
Wow.
A bunch of Spec Ops games. Delta Force. Task Force Dagger.
Okay.
So, yeah, there you go.
That was why I kind of skipped over it. It doesn't look very interesting.
Yeah, but it made for some comedy.
Indeed. Indeed. So that's about it for the confirmed stuff. I know both me and you, Mike, and I'm sure Phil as well, are keeping our fingers crossed that we'll see Diablo 3 this year.
Yeah.
Not going to happen, but I would love to talk about it.
I would guess that StarCraft won't make it out this year, StarCraft 2, but Diablo 3 will probably be 2010.
I saw a recent interview with them. They said that because there's going to be five character classes in it, I believe.
Until the inevitable expansion, which adds two more.
Right. But they only know what the fifth one is, but they don't have like anything done for it. They don't even have like the skill trees or any of that kind of stuff. So
I also heard that they haven't announced it yet, right?
What, Diablo 3?
No, they haven't announced what the class is.
Oh.
They've only announced the first three. There's still two left.
I heard from Witch King, the Barbarian, and the...
Wizard.
I heard from someone that who was talking to Blizzard in an interview about Diablo 3 that they said basically we're never going to guess what one of the classes is, that it's like totally going to be a surprise.
It's a rogue warrior. I know it.
It's no,
it makes
Blizzard,
no sense.
It's going to be like the Pandaren from Warcraft.
It's going to be a space marine.
Something that just totally doesn't fit at all.
That would be really excellent.
It'll be the tofu block from Resident Evil 2.
I'll announce it right now. I bet we'll get the third World of Warcraft expansion announcement this year.
Yeah, that seems pretty obvious.
I'm just throwing it out there.
No. That's cool. But, you know, they've been announcing them year on year, so.
I mean, I don't follow World of Warcraft at all. But have any of the expansions like upgraded the graphics or anything like that?
Yes. Wrath of the Lich King added real-time shadows to everybody.
I mean, Lich King has better graphics in the new areas, but they haven't gone back and like upgraded the graphics in old areas, and I don't think that they will anytime soon. Just for the fact that I think one of the reasons that they think WoW is so popular is that it can run on essentially anything. And there's a lot of people playing it who don't have good PCs at all.
Well, 4 years old now, right? WoW?
Yeah.
Four, maybe? Five?
If anything, the graphic improvements in each successive expansion come from the strengthening of their art design, which was already pretty incredible to begin with. But they do probably the best low-poly work in the business, because they can make something look really detailed that has, like, three polygons in it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so I suspect they won't go back and upgrade anytime soon now. You know, maybe a few years down the line they'll decide that it's time, and then they'll release a big graphics update, but I'm guessing it's not anytime soon.
All right, so a couple other titles that don't have release dates that should be out this year. Two classic games being remade. Actually, one was already released on the PSP, Space Invaders Extreme. There's our Extreme. There it is, Extreme.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Great game.
That's coming to Xbox Live Arcade, and that's supposed to have co-op play in it. And then Arkanoid Live is coming to Xbox Live Arcade. Nice. And they added a co-op mode to that. So
no paddle controller add-on, no sale.
What's the game that just got released for the PlayStation Network? That's supposed to be like Arkanoid.
What was that?
Like? And I believe that has a co-op mode as well.
Was it?
It's like something cube or something. 8-ball, magic ball, something like
magic,
that.
Magic ball, magic something.
As you can see, we're well prepared.
Need we retread this ground?
Yeah, it's magic ball. It is magic ball.
Okay, so magic ball. Yeah, and that's supposed to be like kind of like an Arkanoid style game, but instead of blocks, you're destroying like actual objects. Like a city would be like what you're bouncing the ball off of, and it's crumbling with real physics and everything.
You know, all this is telling me is that someone needs to revisit the Katamari games and mix it with pinball.
That would be interesting.
I don't know how it would work because the ball would just keep getting bigger, but you know, leveling cities and you know, terrorizing the populace seems like it would be a pretty good mix.
All right, so we should probably wrap up because we are way over our normal time. But Phil, thank you for joining us finally.
It was my pleasure.
And so what is it? We're approaching the end of January here, which means we'll be announcing our next two co-op nights soon, our Xbox Live Arcade one, or Xbox Live one, and our Games for Windows one. Also this week, Wednesday, is the 1-year anniversary of Co-Optimist.com.
Hooray!
Yeah, 1 year. Can't believe it. So what we're going to do is just going to have a big old co-op night on every system, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, PC, whatever.
Atari.
We'll just, if you can get that bitch online, definitely.
I call Wii because I don't have one and it's impossible to co-op over the internet with it. Oh, that's not in the spirit of co-op.
No. But yeah, so keep a lookout for that. We'll be having some meetup threads for people to meet up and get some co-op gaming on with that. Remember, if you subscribe in iTunes, to leave a review, because we only have 2 reviews right now. And so we need reviews to tell us how awesome we are. We are awesome, aren't we, Mike?
Yes.
You didn't ask me, but I was going to try and cue up a cricket noise there, but
I think
you know what? We were guest stars on another podcast. We are pretty awesome.
Yeah, so we mentioned it earlier. Married Gamers episode 83, right? I think it was 83. You can check me and Mike out on that. Mike and I out on that.
I will check it out very quickly.
And we talk about co-op gaming and co-op couples stuff, which was pretty cool. Talking to Chris and Kelly.
You guys should be on Rebel FM sometime.
We'd love it.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll work something out.
You guys have sprung forth from the ashes of 1UP to come up with a pretty awesome podcast in its wake, so go check that out. I'm sure they're much higher ranked on iTunes than we are, so you could probably just look for it in the top 10 list.
I don't think we're on the top 10 list for overall now, but in games and hobbies, I think we are.
Nice.
Awesome.
So anything else you want to plug there, Phil?
No, I mean, I just, you know, you brought it up earlier, but if people want to check out what we're doing, make sure to go to eat-sleep-com. I messed that up on the show last time. eat-sleep-game.com. We're actually working on getting a better address. Unfortunately, just eatsleepgame.com is currently taken. So we're working on it, though.
Use some of the donations you guys got to buy it out from under that squatter.
We've talked to him. I don't think we'll see what happens, but
I'm sure he got a ton of traffic from it, and now he's like, "Woo, look at me! Look at all this traffic."
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Anyway. We are currently number 5. If you want to subscribe to Rebel FM, you can go to iTunes and go to Podcast Games and Hobbies, and we are number 5 on the top podcasts. So
awesome!
Check us
Excellent.
Out.
Excellent. Good stuff. All right, so this has been Co-op the Cast, episode 11 for January 25th, 2009. Have a good one.
Later.
Say goodbye, Phil. Bye.